Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12, verse number 5 is the text that we're going to be using as we consider some very important and vital truths for our own lives and indeed for this church. And it's a truth that I believe has just so many different implications. Dr. John MacArthur, who is the pastor of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, tells of that after World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help to rebuild an English cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue they had there of Jesus, whose arms were outstretched, and beneath was the inscription, "Come unto me." They had particular difficulty trying to restore the hands. It was a monumental task. Those hands were completely destroyed on the statue. And after much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing. And they changed the inscription, which said, "Come unto me," to read, "Christ has no hands but ours." Indeed, that is an amazing truth, an eternal truth, that Christ has no hands but ours. The work of Jesus Christ in the world is the hands of those who belong to Him. And I love the way the modern day Christian band Casting Crowns put it. They have a song. You may have heard it on Christian radio. And it says, "We are the body." That's the name of it. We are the body. If we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing that there is a way? I think they nail it right on the head. Nail on the head. The work of Christ in the world is in our hands. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus wherever we go. But how can the church, how can the body of Christ, a collection of people from varying walks of life and all kinds of different backgrounds and different cultures, do the job that God has called us to do? How is that possible? The answer is this, that over and over again in the New Testament, writers exhort believers, especially the writers of the gospel, and especially the Apostle Paul in his writings, they exhort believers to engage in specific activities and attitudes to help the local church function effectively and to grow spiritually so that they would be healthy and be able to carry out the tasks that Jesus, who is the owner of the church and who died for the church, who gave us His task or His work. Frequently, these writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, employed a unique word in the Greek language to describe this mutual process. That is God's intent, that is God's design for the church even today. In the Greek word, it's the Greek word allelon, and it's translated as two words, one another. This word is used 58 times in the New Testament. Paul, the apostle, used it more than any other writer. He used this word, this phrase, one another, 40 times of the 58 instances in the New Testament. And since some of them are repeated, for instance, love one another, encourage one another, be devoted to one another, all of these one another sayings of the New Testament, I believe that God has them here for a reason. And God has a message for every single one of us in this day and age to take to heart, especially the church. When you take them all together, all these one another's, you realize that this is an important, though neglected, New Testament priority. It was important in the early church that believers knew and understood that they were in this thing together. That they were not lone rangers or lone wolves or any such thing, but that they were in it together. There's a modern day preacher in the South. He's the son of Charles Stanley. Andy Stanley said of the early church, he says that the primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. One anothering one another. That's still our job. That's still our task, is one anothering one another. So in the next few weeks, up until Easter, we're going to be looking at these beautiful phrases and several different texts throughout the New Testament of what it means to be part of one another. What does this one another mean when it comes to our relationship together here at Second Baptist Church on this, our 200th year of existence? For the last 200 years, that phrase, one another, has meant a great deal. What does this mean in terms of our relationship with one another when we are out in the world being torpedoed by those who dislike Jesus and who hate Christ and who hate Christianity? And how can we be of one mind? So we're going to be looking at this in the next few weeks, the one another that... And this morning we're going to look at what it means to be members one of another. To be members one of another. This is the only one that is a statement rather than a command. And it is found right here in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says, so we, talking about the body of Christ, talking about those who are part of the local church, we, being many, 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 and unfortunately there's few here, but there's many in the body of Christ, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What does that mean? How does that fit into who we are here at Second Baptist Church? Well, Paul says that every believer is part of Christ's body. If you are a Christian today, you are part of the body of Christ. Denominations has nothing to do with it. Location has nothing to do with it. The language you speak has nothing to do with it. If you are a member of the body of Christ, if you are a Christian, if you believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again from the dead, and he did it for you, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of his body, which is an eternal body. In Romans and in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, Paul used that word 30 times to illustrate the functioning of the church. I'm afraid sometimes we put the cart before the horse. in our understanding of how the church, the body of Christ, is to function. So hopefully in this series we'll come to understand a few things about the nature of the church itself. Now turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because this is the bulk of what I want to share with you this morning. It's an important passage. The Apostle Paul is dealing with spiritual gifts, and he's talking about this whole idea, this amazing concept of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. He even uses a little bit of humor here, if you can pick it out. So if you could check with me some of these truths that I've picked out here in studying this passage, I've got four things to share with you this morning. And I'll try to go through them as fast as we can. Number one, if you would, notice this. That Paul teaches that the body is made up of many different members. That's the first thing I want you to understand this morning. The body of Christ is made up of many different members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 14. And this is what it says. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Many. Okay? There are many of us, and we're all different. Right? All different. Eric, you're so much different than me. That's a good thing. And we're all different. We all have different aspects and different portfolios and different things about us. Some of us are tall and short, thin and not so thin. Some of us are attractive and plain. Some of us are academically smart. And some of us are hands-on smart. Some of us like politics. Some of us hate it. Some of us love to go out to dinner. Some of us would rather eat a meal home. We're all so different. And yeah, thank God. Thank God we are different. There's all races and many cultures that are represented in the church. So, I mean, you go to a big city and you go into a downtown church. A while back we went to Park Street Church in downtown Boston, which is a huge church right in the middle of the city of Boston. And every culture in the world is represented in that one church. They're all different. Many different backgrounds. All races and cultures. We also have all kinds of different personalities. We have people that are laid back. People that are outgoing. People who are quiet. People who are action-oriented, but yet people that are contemplative and creative. We come from all kinds of different financial backgrounds. I came from a very dirt-poor background financially when I grew up. Some come from lower class, upper class, everything in between. Some of us can sing, some of us cannot sing, some of us can play instruments, some of us can teach, some can organize, some can fix things, some are good with cleaning things, shining things, you name it. The point is this, that when you're part of the body of Christ, God accepts us all into his kingdom. And he calls all kinds of people to the local church to be part of a functioning body. The worst thing you can have is a body that's not functioning. And a body that's not healthy. And a body that's not true to what it's supposed to be. We should value that everyone that God brings to us when he does. And we should rejoice in that. The second truth is this. The second thing that Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 is that each member of the body is vitally important for the proper functioning of the whole body. In other words, in order for the body to work and do its thing or do its job, it's dependent upon everybody else. It's dependent upon all the members of the body. Look at verses 15 and 16 in 1 Corinthians 12. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body, as it's therefore not of the body? You see, the foot and the ear are not as visible, are they, as hands and eyes. But Paul reminds us, that feet and hands are important to do God's work. They're just as important. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, this is where Paul uses a little humor. Can you imagine? You coming in here on a Sunday morning and rolling down the aisle, you're an eye. And just rolling down the aisle like a big beach ball. You're an eye. That's all you are, is an eye, a big eye. Or if you're a big hand or a big leg, you come in here. That's just not the way we're created. That's just not the way we are. So Paul uses the analogy of the body. And what's he saying here? He's talking about the expressive parts of the body, the mouth, the eyes, the hands, the outwardly visible and expressive are the first things that come to mind, usually, when we think of the body. But where would I be without my hand? Where would I be without my leg? And there are those who do not have arms and legs. I don't know if you ever did anything to your little pinky finger. But let me tell you, that is one of the most important parts of your body. Right there, that little finger. Right on the very end. And if you don't have use of that finger, it can make life very miserable for you. And that's happened to me a few times. It seems every time I wrap my knuckles or hit my hand with the hammer or something like that, this little finger gets the... Not my thumb, but my finger. That's the one that gets hit and hurt the most. But God says, Paul says, that every part of the body is important. Every part of the body is significant. I want you to think of something. In a fraction of a second, the marrow of your bones produces over 100,000 red blood cells. Did you know that? You never see the marrow of your bones. I mean, you're not looking at the marrow of your bones when you hold out your hands and look at them. You don't see them. You never see the marrow of the bones, but you could not live without the marrow of your bones. You couldn't live, couldn't survive. Your heart beats 103,689 times in the run of a day. Do you know that? If it stops for 1 second, you're gone. Your blood travels 168 million miles in one day. Didn't have that, you wouldn't be around. Your lungs breathe 23,040 times in the run of a day. Except for when you snore. Maybe a few less. You move 750 muscles of your body in the run of a day. Did you know that? 750 muscles. You're saying, well, I didn't know I had that many muscles. Well, you do. Your bone marrow produces 500 billion red cells. 500 billion, that's unbelievable. You can't even imagine what that is. Your brain exercises 7 billion brain cells. What am I saying? I'm saying that all these less visible parts are absolutely vital to the body. And when it comes to the body of Christ, that means that all of us are important. That's what the scriptures are teaching us. That every single one of us are important. No matter what we do in the body, no matter what functions we have, that we are all important in the body. Praise God for the hidden parts of the body that are so vital to the functioning of the body. I praise God for every person here who goes beyond the call of duty most times and work in the background scenes in order that the body would be complete. The final thing I want us to think of this morning is this. I want us to see that Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the body must be united. Seems like I missed one here. Did I miss one? The third one. What's the third one? Put that up on the screen. There we go. Well, I guess I've kind of talked about it. No members of the body should feel that they're more or less important than another member of the body. Every single one of us ought to feel that we are significant. Verses 22 to 24. This is what it says. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, Paul says. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Now, what that simply means is this, that none of us should feel that we are more or less important than the other member of the body. Because we all have different tasks, and we all have different assignments, and we all have different abilities, we all have different strengths and weaknesses. You have a strength that I don't have this morning. Let me tell you and be honest with you on that. And I have some strengths, and I have some abilities that perhaps you don't have. That's a healthy understanding of the body, and it's important for us to understand that. But the final thing I want us to see is that Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 12 that the body must be united. United. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 27. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Unity is so important. We are living right now in this country in the most an unbelievable time of disunity in this country. I mean, everybody's at one another's throats. And I'm thinking of the political field right now. And it's a sad, sad picture of what we see every night on our TV screens, and we see what's going on across this country and how people, neighbors are being divided and households are being divided, and there's just so much disunity. But Paul says there's no excuse for that within the body of Christ. That's not to be, that there is to be unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, we are to pursue and chase after peace. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, he talks about. That ought to be a high priority. That ought to be something that's important for all of us. So we are called to create unity and to foster unity and to believe in unity and to share that unifying presence of the Holy Spirit together. That's what should happen in our church body right here at Second Baptist Church. When someone is in pain, as it says here in verse 27, we all should join in sharing in that pain. When someone is in a time of sympathy and distress, we, the body of Christ, are called upon to be there for that person, to love and to help and to comfort the hurting member of the body. On the other side of the coin, when one is rejoicing and celebrating, we are to be there as well to celebrate with them, to rejoice with them, and to give God the glory. So that is essentially what Paul is teaching here. That is essentially what we need to get in our minds, in our hearts. That's essentially what we need to live out to be a healthy body of Christ right here in Bodenham, Maine. Now, I want to just end by sharing a couple of applications. Two or three of them. Number one, we looked at the first one another statement in our series that we are members one of another. That's foundational. That's basic. But there are some applications. Number one, a pretty obvious starting point is this, that we should get into the body, to become part of the body. And, you know, there are people who do attend church, but they've never invited Christ into their lives. And I'm not saying there's anybody here in that category. But I've known people. I've baptized people who have gone to church and been there every Sunday for 40 years, and then they realized that they had never accepted Jesus. What a great time of rejoicing it was when they gave their hearts to the Lord. So if you're not part of the body, you need to get into the body to become part of it. And you cannot become part of the body of Christ unless you give reverence to the Word of God, unless you make Jesus your King, your Savior, your Lord. Not just a Savior, but Lord. You see, God doesn't want you to be unattached from the body. What a shame it would be if you came, if you were part of just filling up a space on a Sunday, but never really got connected to the body. That's a shame. The second application is this. As a member with other members, you should value the diversity within the body. There is great diversity even in this small group here this morning. You look at the diversity Jesus had with his disciples, his 12 disciples. I mean, there was just it just ran the whole gamut. There was only 12 of them, and there's more than 12 here. But look at the diversity. Look at the diversity here. And I have no problem celebrating diversity. I think it's a good thing within the context of God's Word. We need to celebrate that diversity. And we need to love and appreciate and value those of those who may come in here from a different ethnic background, those with different personality types. That's something that's diverse. Imagine if we were all the same. Imagine if we were all an eye, or if we were all a foot, or if we were all a hand. Wouldn't be much diversity there, would there? God is gladdened when he sees diversity. And then the third thing is this, that we recognize the importance, your importance within the body. Recognize your importance, my importance within the body. Everyone in the body has a place, including you. And I've heard people say, oh, they don't need me around there. I've heard people say, well, you know, I just come and fill a spot on Sunday and that's it, and it's not really, you know, it's not really significant. You need to be in the body. You need to be faithful to the body. And you need to be functioning within the body. That's just the way it's designed. That's just the way it is taught in the New Testament. Doing your part. Being whom you want to be, who God wants you to be. So let me conclude by saying this, that you know, you are important in the church body. So do your part, as we all do our part. If you don't have a place to serve as yet, find one. There's all kinds of things that you can do, even in a small church like this, within the body. If you're a hand in a Second Baptist, then put your hand to the plow. If you are a leg, then get a good running start for God's glory. If you are a liver, get busy secreting whatever you secrete to keep the body pure. If you are a mouth, start talking up Jesus. Use your mouth and use it good. If you are a heart, then get busy beating for Jesus. Get busy beating for him. In other words, get in the body. Find your place of service in the body. Become a member of the body. Be healthy and strong. And be a member in particular. Serve the Lord with gladness in your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these one another's. And we, oh God, need to one another, one another. And we need to hold each other accountable so that we are, oh God, the body of Christ, doing your will and accomplishing your purposes. In this, the 200th anniversary of our church family, Lord, this is a timely series of messages where we can understand fully what it is to be connected. It's not like being part of the Kiwanis Club or a social club. It's part of being part of your body, the body of Christ. And Lord, we need to be building one another up and become bodybuilders. So Lord, this is our prayer today. As you gave your body for us, and you offered your body for us on the cross, Lord, we are here to build one another up and to glorify you for what you've done. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to close this morning by singing together.